am in the place where I come let go. In Miami, the base and the sunset low. Every day like a Mardi Gras. Everybody party all day. No work.
I'll tell you the story about job offer in Miami. Remind me, I'll tell you one day.
You did tell me about that once.
I won't tell you again then. Good. What a place to be. Except if you're a baseball fan.
Times have been
Florida
better.
Marlins. Perry Solkowski along with Randy Janda on point. Florida Marlins fans have seen success with that baseball team and then seen them all be sold off in a fire sale. They bring in Derek Jeter to give them hope because of his greatness as a player, thinking now part owner, he's running the show, things will be okay. Last couple weeks, not so much. They've had a town hall meeting. We'll get into that. But first, Dan Lebatard, radio personality, had the commissioner of baseball on. Lebatard is based in Miami.
Yes,
so here's a sports figure with a passion, I'm sure, for the local team. And they went off at it. Take a listen to the conversation.
Who is Bruce Sherman? Who is he? And why was he approved? Because all the bids came in low on cash.
That's actually not true. I mean, I know you keep saying these things on the radio, but you have no idea what the cash was in this deal. The fact of the matter is, this club, after the transaction, had the same amount of debt as it had pre-transaction, and the largest commitment of equity of any franchise in the history of Major League Baseball.
But, Rob, they have to...
It was the single largest commitment of equity ever in the history of the game.
Rob, I know that part. The reason I interrupt you is because I think you cared more about that $1.2 billion asking price than you did about the fans of South Florida.
Yeah, well, can I tell you something? You actually have no idea what I care about and don't care about. The fact of the matter is, a competitive club in each one of our 30 markets is my foremost concern.
Well, but Rob, you got a problem here now, though, because you're not going to have many fans. They want to get the revenue up. They're not going to be able to get the revenue up because of the hostility in this market, because this has happened four times. And now it happened after trading Cabrera with a new stadium with Giancarlo Stanton. Like, the revenue's never going to get up unless they win. And if they don't win, then we've got a ballpark and baseball just failing here at everything but business, because you still got your $1.2 billion.
I know that you have yourself fairly worked up on this topic, but I'd offer you the following facts as a matter of perspective. Okay, baseball has always been a cyclical business. Probably the best example of that is what we've seen in the last 5 years. In 2012, San Francisco and Detroit were in the World Series. They're going to pick 1-2 in the draft this year. In 2013, based on 2012 results, the teams that were 1-5 in the draft, Houston, the Cubs, Colorado, Minnesota, and Cleveland, were all in the playoffs this year. The strategy that apparently the Marlins have adopted is one that is tried and true in baseball. I'm not saying it's without pain. As a matter of fact, I think the fans in Houston endured some bad seasons. But it was a process that ultimately produced a winner, and that process is really dominant in terms of the thinking in our game right now, in terms of particularly smaller markets' ability to win.
I'll give the commissioner credit there in explaining, and you have to go through some tough times. Hey, we've gone through tough times in this city with the Vancouver Canucks, and that's what Miami is doing. They tried to spin it, had the town hall meeting. We'll get into it and what Derek Jeter had and what he faced. Joining us right now from Sportsnet, baseball writer Ben Nicholson-Smith. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. So we listened to that Dan Lebatard, Rob Manfred. I don't know if you heard some of it. I'm sure you have listened to it already. How is that a fair spin by baseball's commissioner to go, hey, it's a tough time. You have to move some stars, and now it's what you do with the money, because certainly Derek Jeter is on the hot seat and will be for a while now in South Florida.
Well, without having access to the Marlins books, we can only know so much. And I think that anytime you're a Major League Baseball team, you have some structural advantages. Just in the sense that you have so much money coming in from MLB Advanced Media. In the Marlins case, they have a stadium that was funded by taxpayers. they are really in a good spot. One of only 30 teams getting all kinds of interest from baseball fans around the world. So really, if you're the Marlins, you can choose to lower payroll, but I don't believe that they have to lower payroll. And I think there's an important difference there. So what the Marlins are doing here is a choice. They're deciding to become a worse baseball team. They're deciding to spend less money on that baseball team. And there are going to be consequences on the field as a result.
I know that the Marlins, you know, have fans have been through this before. They've had successful teams and they'd have to strip the team down and see the best players go. From what you gauge of the town hall meeting yesterday, which was full of anger, but also comedy at the same time, which was kind of strange, do you think that market actually has an appetite for baseball now from all that they've gone through?
Well, you know, it's tough. Anytime you're talking about an entire market, you've got a wide selection of people. And those who attended the town hall with Derek Jeter last night are the diehards. They're the fans who are going to be there through thick and thin. They've already seen this team rebuild and strip down on a few occasions. And so their patience is going to be tested and has already been tested. But I think the real shame here is that you have a lot of casual baseball fans in any market. You know, we see it in cities like Toronto, where attendance has really spiked in the last couple of years. You see it anytime a team goes from being on the fringes of contention to being an elite team, you are going to see a lot of fans fill up that stadium because it becomes just a more fun environment. And so what we're going to see now in Miami is anyone who's not a diehard fan is going to have a lot of good reason to tune out the Marlins for a period of probably years at a time. And that could hurt not only Miami's franchise, but it can hurt the growth of the game as a whole, because in theory, Miami should be a big market, should be a team that really generates interest for the sport, as opposed to hurting interest in the sport in that area.
Derek Jeter had some great comments. It sounded like he handled all the fire coming at him well, saying, you know, I can't sit here and ask and tell you to trust me, because that will take time, and that's, I'm going to have to earn your trust. Boy, is this all on Jeter and the wonderful image he had as a Yankee? Do you think he's the personality that somehow, some way, will be able to smooth everything over? Or because he's a Yankee, will he just get all the venom towards him immediately?
Well, you know, with Jeter, he's up against a really tough situation here. And this one is now of his own doing. In the past, if there were big picture questions of the Yankees, he was a master at deflection and saying, hey, we're going to, you know, do the best we can. And, you know, if it was a question of payroll, he would defer to George Steinbrenner. If it was a question of roster management, he would defer to Brian Cashman. And so that deferential style works really well for him as a player because he wasn't the ultimate decision maker. Now he is one of the ultimate decision makers along with Bruce Sherman. And so his strategy of deflecting isn't going to work anymore. He is going to have to be accountable for the decisions that he makes and for the experience of watching baseball in South Florida in a way that he never was in New York. So he's going to be tested in lots of different ways. I can't say how he's going to respond to it. It's going to require, as he said, a lot more than a couple of town halls, a couple of Q&As to restore the trust and to earn the trust of Marlins fans. But he's in for a big challenge, and a much different challenge than the one that he faced as a player in New York.
The other team in Florida, Tampa Bay, traded away their franchise leader in many categories, Evan Longoria, today. What does that signal for you in terms of the AL East?
Well, the Rays, I think, now are likely to embark on a reset, and that probably involves a trade of their closer, Alex Colome. It could involve a trade of their frontline pitcher, Chris Archer, and even more pieces. Including Denard Span, who they just got back from the Giants in that trade today. So it's hard to say whether the Rays are going to go full-scale rebuild along the lines of what the Marlins are doing, or whether they're just going to reset and try to build up that farm system more gradually. But one way or another, they're a worse team today than they were yesterday. That much is for certain. Although I would caution not to write them off completely, because This club has a lot of talent, not only in the big leagues, but in the upper minors of their system. They've got some really good prospects. So I do think it would be hasty to overlook the Rays, but if they keep making trades and trading away their major league talent, then this team could be very vulnerable in 2018.
as we know, that division is kind of a bit of a murderer's row when it comes to the three top teams. I know the Orioles had a down year last year, but the Yankees and the Red Sox have restocked. Do you see the Blue Jays maybe potentially making a similar move to the Rays with Josh Donaldson?
I don't see that. I think the chances of that are very slim. Of course, the Blue Jays won't rule it out, but really it would have to be a perfect alignment of need on the part of another big league team and willingness to part with a lot of prospects and take on a lot of money. So you look around baseball, I see the Cardinals as a candidate to trade for Josh Donaldson, and clearly they have interest. Beyond that, it's hard to find a lot of teams that fit those requirements. As great of a player as Josh Donaldson is, other teams around the game are going to respect that the acquisition cost is going to be very high. And so I think that unless the Cardinals decide to depart from their normal strategy and just give up a huge haul of prospects and young talent for Josh Donaldson, I think the overwhelming likelihood is that he'll start the season in Toronto and be a big part of a Blue Jays team that's going to try to win some things in 2018.
You have to always adjust to how you have to improve your team. This morning in Baltimore, they wake up to find out that their closer, Zach Britton, ruptures the Achilles just at the end of a workout, just doing some basic sprints. Will that change the way that team looks at things, knowing that he's gone now essentially for a half year?
I think it should. I'm not sure if it will necessarily. The Orioles are a tough team to peg. Their owner, Peter Angelos, has an active hand in the club's decision-making when it comes to its bigger stars like Manny Machado. And really, as much as there is a case for trying to look to the future in Baltimore, especially at a time that their farm system is considered weak and players like Adam Jones, Brad Brock, Manny Machado, and Zach Britton are all going to hit free agency in less than 12 months, I think you can make a pretty strong case for a reset right there. But they might not do it. They might hold on to Manny Machado. And if they don't get offers that they like in the next 24, 48 hours, it sounds a lot like the Orioles are prepared to go into the season with Machado. But personally, I think they should probably trade him and see what they can get for one of the game's best young stars.
Ben, it's interesting to see the offseason. New York spends the money. We see the other moves. We see Jeter in a town hall defending the fact that there's a fire sale in Florida. Before we let you go, from your standpoint, covering this game, who do you think is the organization that is the best well-run, is efficient with their money, always competitive?
I mean, I think the Cardinals are the model organization in baseball for a lot of reasons. You look at the players that they have on the Major League roster, it's been a very good team for a very long time. And they have won the World Series. They've won a lot of playoff series. They're consistently an excellent team. You also look at the consistency they've had with a lot of the players. Albert Pujols, of course, comes to mind. Matt Holliday, before that, Mark McGwire, Chris Carpenter. They've been able to keep those players. They've been able to trade for star talent, hit on the big trades that they make, and then convince those acquisitions to stay in St. Louis because it's a great baseball environment. And, you know, a lot of the time we talk about cities like Miami where the baseball interest isn't strong and they don't really act like a big market, even though they should. Well, St. Louis does act like a big market, even though in practice it's not. I mean, it doesn't really make all that much sense that a city that size can draw 40,000 plus people to the ballpark every single night, but they do it. And that allows them to spend big. It allows them to act like a big market team. And to me, you know, as a fan, you couldn't ask for more than what you get out of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Hey, thank you for your insight, Ben. We appreciate this. Happy holidays to you over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, same to you guys, and thanks for having me on.
Sportsnet 650.